Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book Study. My name is Larry Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Today is Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are currently in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 20, the fourth paragraph, which begins, now these are commonplace observations. We're going to read through one paragraph. It ends with are very different than ours, and we're just going to comment on the one paragraph. Today's readers, we have Diane M. on the 12 steps. Karen W. is going to read the 12 traditions. And the readers of the text, we have Pete B., Rena L., and Nancy P. The share ID for yesterday, Monday, May 20th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that number is 21,413. That's 21413. For the 10 a.m. meeting, 21,414, 21414. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. We don't solicit or accept outside donations. We're not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or even a religious doctrine. See, we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. And when we do that, then we carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. We have a sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating, well, they can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So let me now ask Diane M. to read the 12 steps. Thank you for your service, Diane. Good morning.
You're welcome. Good morning. This is Diane M. from Martha's Vineyard, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Diane. Okay, tradition. So now Karen W. is going to read the 12 traditions. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen. Here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone except Russ can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year. For readers, it is 6 months, and there is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. And, of course, we're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we're back in the Big Book. We are currently on page 20, the fourth paragraph. It begins, now these are commonplace observations. Pete's going to read through one paragraph. It ends, are very different than ours. So, Pete, will you get us going this morning? Thanks for your service.
Will do, Larry. Thanks. Sure thing. Now, these are commonplace observations on drinkers, which we hear all the time. Back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. We see that these expressions refer to people whose reactions are very different from ours. So my name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I'm in Pennsylvania. And, you know, this world of ignorance and misunderstanding, it doesn't only exist outside of our fellowship, right? You know, outside of the world, and now we have some newfound understanding of our condition and understanding of our solution, right? There's as much ignorance and misunderstanding about the condition and the program of recovery inside the rooms of in the fellowships and the meetings as there is outside from my observation, right? Because, you know, as a fellowship, we're not doing anybody any favors by, you know, we do things like we'll change words. We'll select different meanings and definitions for words that are in the book. We'll apply instructions from one step and apply them to the other and adopt them as that's the common practice, right? So many times we don't do much to kind of clear up this ignorance and misunderstanding about what we have. And the book is very clear. It tells us what he has. And so what are they talking about when they talk about reaction? Whose reactions are different from ours. You know, in the doctor's opinion, it says that men and women drink because they like the effect produced by alcohol. So we eat because we like the effect produced by food. That's all men and women. I've never been anybody else but a compulsive overeater. And there's no way to measure ease and comfort. right? So I can't assume that because I'm a compulsive overeater, anecdotally, that I get more ease and more comfort from food. There's no way to measure that. Right? Like compulsive overeaters eat in the absence of the phenomenon of craving for the same reasons that other people eat. We exist in a multi-billion dollar snack food industry and weight loss industries out there. Ease and comfort is a natural byproduct from food. So that's not the reaction that we're that this paragraph's talking about. The reaction that it's talking about is the abnormal reaction that only occurs to a small percentage of the population that have this condition and have it in the variety that makes them hopeless, coupled with the obsession. Now, what's the obsession? The obsession that I wasn't loved enough, that I didn't fit in, that I didn't have a babysitter. The great obsession of every abnormal drinker or eater, that somehow we will be able to control and enjoy our drinking, right? So that's the reaction. That's our reaction. There's only one thing that clearly differentiates us from other people, and it's not that obsession, because I would challenge that even people that don't have this condition have that same obsession. The thing that differentiates us from other people is the allergy of the body that occurs to only a small percentage of people. And once they ingest the substance, they absolutely have to keep ingesting that substance or substances like it. So that's what must out of me. That's 3 minutes and 35 seconds. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Pete. Okay, so we're going to transition now to get your comments. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others can step in as well. And I will time you on the 3 minutes. So who would like to share in what was read?
Ruven H.
Melissa C.
Harlan G.
Shanna C.
Harlan.
Kathy
Ruven.
S.
Did you get
You got Ruven?
C, Melissa, Ruven, Melissa, Harlan, Kathy, who else?
Nick F.
Shanna C.
I'm sorry, say it again. I heard Hannah.
Nick.
Monique.
Shanna C.
Nick F. From Shanna C.
Okay. So the person from Tennessee.
Vasa O.
The person from Tennessee and nobody else. Give me your first name because I'm an aged man here.
Sorry.
Shanna
C.
Okay. Nick F. Or you can just say Tennessee, and I'll start talking.
I might just do that. So let me tell you who I heard, because I heard a few people a few times. Ruven, Melissa, Harlan, Kathy, our good friend from Tennessee, Hannah and Shanna. I don't know if Hannah and Shanna was blended together, and that could be, but we'll see. Did I miss somebody? Okay. Let's start with that group. We'll start, if you're not Ruven, please mute your phone, and then we'll follow that up with Melissa. Ruven, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. This is Ruven H. from Israel, and thank you, Larry, for your service, and thanks, Pete, for your intro. I agree with the share that you gave, Pete. I will just apply it to myself, as we're asked to do here. World of ignorance and misunderstanding. I had heard saying that it includes people in and out of the rooms. I started in OA in 1988. The year right now is 2024. I have had periods of abstinence. I don't believe that I've ever had, well, I guess you could say I've had a piece of educational variety of spiritual experience or of a psychic change. However, that didn't happen until about 6 months ago. So I want to start by saying that a lot of this for me has to do with my relationship with God, which the big book talks extensively about. And I don't necessarily have, or I don't have control over the timing of it. All I can do is take the actions. And many of my actions, I read these things before, I still have ignorance and misunderstanding. I don't know whether it was all because of me or it had to be because of God too. God decided right now the time is for me. And yes, I like the effect and the ease of comfort, and other people do too. I have an abnormal reaction of craving that doesn't get resolved because I do believe I have an allergy of the body and cannot control it. And there's a hopelessness about it that I experience. And I thank God this meeting and the people and my sponsor were a vehicle. However, I do believe that God is in charge, and thank God that I'm where I am right now, 6+ months abstinent. And thank you for sharing. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
I was listening, Ruben. Thank you for sharing. Okay. And next up, we have my favorite teacher, Melissa, my favorite school teacher, Melissa, followed by Harlan. Melissa, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, these observations, you know, that they're talking about, the observations that other people have had, you know, on me, why can't you just, like, drink like, you know, eat like a normal person? Why can't you moderate? Or why don't you just leave it alone? You know, like, that all makes sense. You know, people who are ignorant and don't understand this, my experience was those people, you know, and for me it was my family mostly, and sometimes weight loss, you know, professionals and doctors, they actually were not out to screw me. They weren't out to get me. They really didn't understand it. They had no knowledge of what it means to have an allergy of a body. You know, so every strategy and every method that I tried before was ignorant about what my problem was. So they were all trying to help me in a way a normal person ought to be helped. And I didn't understand it either, that why can't I just leave it alone? Why is it that, you know, I mean, my experience was, you know, many of the products that, you know, for me, I was like a Weight Watchers junkie. I loved Weight Watchers, and because it made such sense, you know, and I'm just calling that one particular plan out because when I look at it on paper, it was so logical. It kind of gave you this idea that you ought to be able to eat everything if you can, you know, if you can account for it, if you can sort of give it the appropriate amount of points and eat it in moderation. And the rest of the world who did it, who don't have what I have, it was effective and it worked. And I kept trying it over and over and over again. And I couldn't make it work for long, you know. And then even knowing that, you know, I found out that I had an allergy of the body many years ago. And guess what? Even that knowledge didn't keep me from picking up again, you know. Knowledge about this disease is not my solution either, because the greater problem exists in my mind that tells me after every, you know, period of abstinence that this time I ought to be able to control it. And so, you know, other people don't react the way I react. And what I found out is I don't have to convince anybody on the outside world that, you know, I react differently so long as I know it. And to the outside world, it doesn't make sense. But to me, it is the only thing that makes perfect sense. And once, you know, wrapping up real quick, once I knew that, then I could actually, you know, chase after what the solution was. And thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Okay, next up we have an Insufferable Cubs fan, followed by Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
I am an Insufferable Cubs fan. It's true. Yeah. Thanks, Larry, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is, for me, a disease of self-loathing. And one of the major components of that self-loathing, that self-hatred that I have felt since I was a little kid, is that I didn't seem to fit into the world that I was born into. I didn't understand them, and they certainly did not understand me. Very, very specifically, first of all, I was a very fat kid. But it never, ever occurred to me that people didn't want to eat every piece of food in sight. And it did not occur to my friends, the parents of my friends, the people in my environment, teachers, you name it, it did not occur to them that they did want to eat everything in sight. And the reactions of people around me was that the more they ate, the less food they wanted. I would see people eat 3-4 French fries, 2 bites of a hamburger, maybe 4-5 bites of a hamburger, and they are done. The more they eat, the less they want. The less, they're just done. In my body, the more I eat, the more I want, the more I eat, the more I want, the more I want, the more I eat. It's just endless. And the world of ignorance and misunderstanding, ignorance isn't stupidity. Ignorance is lack of knowledge. They didn't understand at any level that I was not stupid. I was not lazy. I did not lack willpower. I did not lack character. I cared about my mother. I cared about my future. But what they didn't understand is I have an illness. I have an illness of the mind and an illness of the body. And in a very unnatural way, I focus on food constantly when I'm not eating it and revel in it when I am eating it. They don't. I assumed they reacted the way I did, but had mountains of willpower that I did not have. They assumed that I reacted like them, but had no willpower and didn't care and was lazy and lacked character. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I was a German shepherd trying to fit into a world of otters. That's what it was. I'm a German shepherd trying to fit into a world of otters. When I got to OA, it never occurred to me that there were people who thought about food the way I did and who reacted to food the way I did. And when I found OA, I found a home, a haven. I found a place where I could be one of many. And it remains the only place where I can be one of many. That there are people here that think about food the way I do and react physically to the food the way I do, but we have found a way out on which we can absolutely agree and absolutely rely. Thank God for OA. And with that, I will pass. I'm home. And with that, I will give it back to you, Larry. Thanks for your service.
Okay, thanks, Harlan. Okay, next up we have Kathy, and I believe then followed by Nick from Tennessee. Kathy, it's your turn. Good morning.
Thank you, Larry. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And I love this paragraph. It was so critical for me because I would hear these kind of commonplace observations all the time. You know, why don't you just have some? Tell yourself it's okay. And, you know, just stop restricting and then you won't want to binge. You're so rigid, just loosen up, or we're on vacation, just have some, you know. And what I have to remember is these comments come from someone who does not, who, like it says here in the paragraph, they are expressions from people whose reactions are very different from mine. they do not have the physical allergy that causes the compulsion, and they don't have the mental obsession that occurs, you know, they don't go through the cycle of the spree. They don't have this, and then they're not in bondage with it the way that I was. And, you know, and I, these things just, even in recovery, I still hear it a lot. Like, you're in good shape. You can have some, you can afford it. And, or you're so good, have a little fun. And, or why do you have to pack food and make calls? It's vacation. And it's, it's again, coming from a place of misunderstanding. And this is why staying in touch with the, you know, listening to meetings, reading from our text, the big book here, and connecting with my fellows through outreach calls and working these steps on a daily basis. This is, I have to do this because otherwise I will listen to those voices and it won't take me but a second to just, all right, maybe they're right. So I always have to connect with my fellows to have that understanding and to take that responsibility that I need to. I have to, like what was shared, I have to know this for myself. It doesn't matter what the outsider thinks. I have to concede to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater, that I do have a physical allergy of the body and a mental obsession. I need a spiritual solution, and I have to accept my condition and do what I need to do in order to maintain that spiritual fitness so that with God, I have the power to live in the freedom of recovery and abstinence. And for that, I am so grateful. So thank you so much for this meeting and just for, you know, the reminder about where these ideas come from, and they don't apply to me. So thanks. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Kathy. Okay, next up we have Nick, followed by Hannah, I believe. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning. I am Nick. I am a compulsive overeater living in Tennessee. What came up for me when I was hearing this being read was this is for people who want it, not need it. And I would always be misunderstood by those who don't want it. You know, if somebody has cancer, they know they need to do certain things. If somebody has diabetes, they know they need to do certain things. And many of them are able to do certain things. But for me, like what was shared, I'm hopeless. I am hopeless without this solution. And I just can't need to get better. I have to want to get better. I can need to not be 400 pounds and a 5X. But I have to want to not do that. And I think something that was shared was, you know, that I can, the past trauma and the past abuse and the past pain keeps me wanting to pick up the extra food, had me wanting to pick up the alcohol, you know, had me wanting to pick up these things that were further going to abuse my body. But then when I got to the point where I wanted to die and all hope was lost and I couldn't dream any more dreams and I had no more feelings and emotions and I was just walking around numb, all of a sudden I began to want to get better. And I didn't know where to start, so I needed some help. I had to reach out to someone. I had to reach out to someone who had been doing this thing, and that was my sponsor, and she helped love me. But I'll tell you, I was so sick at that time that I had to make my sponsor God, that I couldn't even believe in any deity. I believed in a person, and I put my trust in this person. And then when this person began to start, you know, showing symptoms of being a human being, I almost lost all hope. But my high power God is today my high power. He let me know that I didn't have to die again. I only needed that one death. I only needed that one episode of misery that took me into a grave. Yes, he sent somebody else to dig and get in there with me and bring me out, but I never, ever have to get in that grave again. And one of my things when I began to come to vision, I began to hear people say that they had gained all their weight back, and I refused to gain back 220 pounds. It's the same today as it was back then. If I got to live like that, then I'd rather be dead. And my high power sent me a sister that was coming to vision, and she told me, are you in relapse? And I told her, hell no, because for me, if I say I'm in relapse and I hadn't picked up anything with sugar in it, that I will get the facts. And that's F-U-C-K, all of this, S-H-I-T. And I never want to have the facts again. And so she sent me somebody a number, and I began calling that lady. And that lady, I wasn't in a grave, but I was in kind of a shadow. And she lovingly grabbed my shadow, and she's walked me hand in hand back into some unbelievable light. And, you know, I've been homeless before, addicted to drugs, and I've had my lights cut off, and I've had roaches, and I've had my children given away, and I've lost custody of my kids. So I want people not, don't tell me what kind of meeting I need to go to. Don't tell me what my recovery needs to look like, because you wasn't there in my misery, and you wasn't there in my hopelessness, and you wasn't there when I couldn't sit in a bathtub. So some people will say I'm loud or I'm country or why you got to go to a meeting like that. Baby, you don't know anything about me because you wasn't there when I was dying. And I'm just so grateful for my high power saving my life over and over and over again. And, you know, I want this way of life with every breath that I breathe. And now we'll close with saying, you know, instead of feeling intimidated to be on the line with Melissa C. and Harlan G., I get to feel honored. I was thinking this morning that, you know, I want to be able, I am an African-American black woman, and I want to carry my message like I see others carrying their message. I want to give glory to God for saving my life, and I cannot not eat and not have a spiritual solution. I'll either die or I will live with this disease. And today I'm just enjoying my life. I'm living. I'm speaking out loud. I am forever grateful to the people of Vision. So thank you, my Brandon family. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that. Okay, next up, I don't know if I heard Hannah or it was Shanna. Potato, potato, I don't know. Was there a Hannah or is it Shanna C?
Shanna C, maybe. Is it Shanna C from Tennessee?
You know what? Shanna, it's your turn. Good morning to you.
All right. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for your service and thanks for everyone who shared. I'm Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Knoxville, Tennessee, and couldn't be more grateful to be on the line this morning. And part of me wanted to just sit back and shut my mouth because everything that has been said has been so on point for me anyway. One of the things, though, from my own experience that jumps out at me, I absolutely identify with the physical allergy to food. You know, there's certain ingredients. Once I start, I can't stop. And that's a common denominator among all kinds of foods. If those ingredients are in any of those foods or whatever, most likely I am unable to stop without, you know, on my unaided will. And, you know, and then the other part of it, too, is that obsession. Okay, I'll do better next time. And that, you know, the vacillating between the, oh, well, to heck with it, I'm just going to eat, to, okay, I'm going to, you know, pull myself up by my bootstraps and control it better this time or whatever. Yes, I identify with all of that. And who knew that that made me abnormal? I thought everybody thought that way. I mean, you think, you know, you see most of the population constantly worried about weight and food and health and all of the things. But, you know, for me, I often wondered why other people don't want to, I mean, I wanted to die. Felt in a way this thing was so all-consuming. And one of the things, too, this program has allowed me to do, and I'm seeing more and more evidence of, is that obsession, that huge amount of just focus on food or whatever and trying to control and enjoy it can actually be used to, that zeal can be used to actually do some good in the world. Particularly with helping other compulsive overeaters and, you know, people in recovery. And I'm grateful for that. But one thing, like I said, that has jumped out at me is glaring is the fact that I don't have to weigh a huge amount in order to qualify for Overeaters Anonymous. I don't have to have done in all of the things that so many people say that they have done to qualify for the solution in Overeaters Anonymous. When I got to Overeaters Anonymous in absolute desperation, I did not weigh, I was not over 100 pounds overweight, not that I shouldn't have been, but, or could have been, you know, I could have, but I wasn't. I didn't have people coming to me saying, you need to quit eating. And I don't mean this to be braggy at all. There was never a day that people weren't telling me that was beautiful. So if my recovery depended upon what other people thought of me, I wouldn't be here. So there's something that I've tapped into through the power of these steps, and that gift of desperation has enabled me to walk this path a day at a time, one meal at a time, and stay with that food plan, regardless of what people thought or said. And that's the miraculous part of it, is the power that I've been given to not only go through it myself, but enable to share this stuff with other people candidly and identify with others with it, that they don't have to be alone in the world anymore. And that's what keeps me abstinent. Whether I agree with someone's theory about what's right or wrong or whatever, makes little difference. Even with the doctor's opinion, it talks about that. It says our opinion as to the soundness of this theory, of course, means little, but my experience shows that it makes good sense. When I eat this stuff, I cannot stop, and that's what makes me different. Thank you so much. Oh, okay.
Shanna, I know that feeling.
I'm going to shut up now.
I know that feeling. Hey, when I hear the language of the heart, I know that feeling. So, okay, we're on page 20, the fourth paragraph in the chapter, There Is a Solution. It begins, there are commonplace observations. So if you want in on this deal, give me your first name and last initial.
Julie M., Colorado.
Julie M.?
Amy G.
Amy G. Who else?
Vasa O.
Oh, that's right.
Alexis F.
In the first round. Alexis.
Kelsey R.
Was that Sophie?
Kelsey. With a K.
Oh, Kelsey
R.
Yeah, boy, I really botched that, Kelsey. Sorry about that. All right, let's take
one. Larry, did you hear Vasa O?
I did. In fact, you came in the first time, Vasa, and I forgot to put it down. My apologies.
Okay, right, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I heard Julie, Amy, Vasa, Alexis, and Kelsey. Why don't we go with that and kind of see where we're at? So let's go to Colorado and start with Julie, followed by Amy G. Hi, Julie. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Larry. My name is Julie M. I'm in Colorado. And when I read these lines about, people saying things like, why can't you just stop? You know, that is, they're ignorant because they have no clue what it's like to be a true compulsive overeater. And, I think about, the reaction is very different from ours. I think about in the doctor's opinion, the bottom of Roman numeral 28, where it talks about the sensation is so elusive that while they admit it, just that feeling that men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. And I think about, I still do this sometimes, but I remember, especially when I would get really hungry, like if we were out all day or something, and I get like a prey animal, like my eyes are darting left and right, and I feel like my life is in danger. And when I sit down and I take that first bite, I go, I do basically what I just heard on the line, that, and my kids used to laugh at me. And I didn't know that I was doing this until they brought it to my attention. They'd be like, look at mom, she's going to do a weird thing with food. And it would just bring me this like sense of ease and comfort. And I think about my daughter who is, she's 26. She's addicted to fentanyl and meth. First time she was arrested, she was 12, and that was for weed and mushrooms. And I think about her as a baby. She constantly needed to be rocked really hard, and her little legs would kick out. And, I think about stories I've heard of alcoholics who, they didn't get the substance that would ease their restlessness, irritable, and discontentedness as babies and children, like I did when I would, gorge on the things that my mom had in the cupboard. They had to wait until they experienced their first sip of alcohol or their first, for my daughter, shot of meth. And the sense of ease and comfort that all addicts describe for whatever the substance is that does that for them. And like, I know that feeling. I'm so grateful for my own addiction because it allows me to love and accept my daughter as she is. Not to overindulge her, not any of that. I'm very firm boundaried with her, but I know what it is to not be able to get through life without taking in that substance to give me that ease and comfort until I found program, which I pray that she does one day. But you know, the people that go after me or have gone after me or my daughter. It's ignorance on their part. They have no idea what it's like to experience that sense of dis-ease that can only be relieved now with the solution of God, or with taking in that substance that for me gives me that sense of, it's like I can just rest in my body when I take that bite when I've had a really disastrous time. So I'm so grateful for myself that I understand on my own level, so that I can understand and love my child with 100% acceptance. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie. Okay, next up we have Amy, followed by Vasa. Amy, what you want to do? Good morning, Amy. Remember that song?
One of my favorite songs, of course, because it's about me. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, everyone, for what such an awesome meeting. My name is Amy G, and I'm recovered compulsive overeaters from Maryland. So just to jump on the bandwagon here, I mean, what is this paragraph telling me? It's telling me that I am different. If I have this physical allergy and this mental obsession, the people that don't are always going to see what this disease does to me, not what it does for me, which is what it does for me, that ease and comfort. Whether or not other normies or whatever out there have ease and comfort, the difference is that phenomenon of craving where I cannot stop once I put those substances, those allergic substances into my body, that I am absolutely different. And, you know, this misunderstanding, this ignorance, I mean, I could have had the best sponsor in the world, you know, those first years in Overeaters Anonymous, but I was unwilling. My ignorance and my own misunderstanding, my own three D's of the disease, denial, delusion, and defiance, even when I was willing to admit I was a compulsive overeater, at some point I had to take responsibility and do the actions that are required for this program to be successful. And I was unwilling to do so. And when I take responsibility and finally admitted that I was a compulsive overeater, that I was different, nor would I ever be normal when it came to my eating of my substances, that allergic reaction would never go away, no matter how long I was abstinent or how long I was eating, I was finally ready then to embark upon taking these steps, because if I didn't, then I thought I would die, as others have talked about. It had to be that desperate, dying desperate and doomed for me. Otherwise, I was unwilling to take the steps. And if I'm not willing to admit this, that I'm different from others, then the solution isn't for me, because it's not going to be the solution that I'm going to work. I have to go off of the premise that I am a true compulsive overeater and will always be so, with the physical allergy and the mental obsession. You know, talks about it and how it works. At some of these steps, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. Next page 59, we stand at a turning point. We ask his care with complete abandon. We ask a sponsor. We connect to a higher power. We find the power through this program. But I have to be willing to admit who and what I am, and that I am and always will be different because of the physical allergy and the mental obsession. And then what am I going to do about it then? Live or die, right? Live or die. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks for the clarity, Amy. Appreciate it. Okay, next up we have Vasa O, followed by Alexis F. Vasa, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, everyone. And I'm Vasa, greatly recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'm so grateful that I found the program years ago, and I thought I was old then, you know, compared to what I'm now. I was 41 years old when I found the program, and yes, I did have the gift of desperation, and God brought me at that time. It was my time to come in. I'll never be so more grateful, and it is a miracle that I found the program, and I wouldn't even be here today. And, yeah, it's live or die, Vasa. Are you going to take it or leave it? And I was ready and willing. I did the first three steps without even, I just did it. I was powerless, and I can't do this any longer. I can't, he can, and I'll let him, whoever you out there, please help me. And I love the paragraph I was read yesterday. How many times people have said to us, I had said it to myself, you know, you can do this. You'll find a solution. Go to the doctor. They'll give you the diet or do the Weight Watchers. Go to Gloria Stevens, you know. But nothing worked. I had no clue or understanding about food addiction. I didn't even know it was an addiction. And I didn't know anything about the allergy of the body. I said, this is weird. How could it be? Who thought of this, you know? I'm so grateful for the people that thought about it, you know? And yes, I was willing and I was ready. And I judged people myself before I came to recovery. And I learned about my addiction. I mean, I remember, alcoholism, I was saying, why can't they just put that cork on, then don't drink it? Or the drug addicts, what's wrong with them? Well, I needed to look at myself and to say, what is wrong with you, Vasa? Why can't you put this? And I didn't blame myself. I was, I was born with it, you know. So what am I going to do? What is the solution I can do? Put the food down, put my alcoholic foods down. And the only way I could do it, if I surrender to a power greater than myself. That's why my sponsor said, you got to surrender. I will surrender. I will surrender to the 12 steps. I'll surrender to a higher power, whatever it takes. I do not want to die. And people are still saying to me, are you still in that program? You've been thin for all these years. They don't know the difference, you know. And a lot of times I look at all these obese people and they're saying they don't have the allergy or they're not compulsive overeaters. And I say, I pray for them. I said, thank God I'm not there and I'll pray for them. So I'm grateful. There's a lot of people suffering out in this world. We are so blessed. I am so blessed that I found this program. It saved my life. The physical, emotional, spiritual part. It's not just the physical. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Oh, thanks, Vasa. Appreciate that. Okay, next up we have Alexis F., followed by Kelsey. Alexis, good morning to you.
Good morning. I recently decided that I was going to go completely abstinent. I have been 9 years without sugar, any type of sugar, but I fell short when it came to white flour, and that can get you into a lot of trouble. And I was thinking about my mother when we were young. She used to say, you eat like animals. You eat like you're going to the chair. But we got away with anything, jumping on the beds until they were broken. And then my mother would say, get out of here, you animals. And she was known when she was eulogized for her faith, food, and fun and family. And that's what I lost two brothers recently, 7 months apart. And that's how I eulogized my one brother. He was completely funny, faith filled with, he was had a lot of faith. He was born again. And my mother was Irish Catholic, and she was just funny. All we did was laugh at her, even with the things that were pretty serious right till the end. But it was always the food. Everyone in my family, there were 6 children, we were all compulsive overeaters at one time. Some of us, got better from it, but others just, continued along the way with eating and or vacillated up and down, yo-yo with the eating. So um, I'm glad to be back, and the willingness after I started praying for it came very soon. I didn't have to wait long. God is good. And the closeness to him came very soon, too, once I started eating abstinently. And I cut out flour, wheat, and sugar, and I guess that's about it. And immediately I felt better. The first day of abstinence is better than any day eating. So,
a reminder.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Alexis. Sorry to hear about your brothers. Prayers for you guys. Okay, next up we have Kelsey. Kelsey, I didn't grab your last initial. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks, Larry. This is Kelsey R. in Texas, compulsive overeater. Gratefully recovered for today. I love this paragraph, and it makes me think, you know, the addict in me, I can find whatever I'm looking for in any situation, whether it's good or bad, right? I know the addict in me knows where to go to find support to eat. These people who don't understand that, you know, the people that think I'm being too restrictive or too controlling with my food or doing too much, giving too much to this program. But more importantly, I know where to go to find support with people who are walking this path, who are also trying to live free one day at a time. You know, I can go to the rooms of OA and find the support to not have a perfect abstinence. You know, progress, not perfection around the food. And that killed me. Like I got sicker in the rooms of OA until I finally understood what entire abstinence meant. Until I was finally ready and willing to put down everything, every ingredient and behavior and food that was triggering my allergy. You don't know until you know. But once you know, you can't unknow it. And, you know, it makes me think of one of my favorite paragraphs on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellow. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart that he doesn't deserve it. And you pick any area of my life, church, extended family, you name it. Like I did insane things to make my weight appear normal. But I ate like a monster. Like, but I didn't want anyone to know my secret. I didn't want anyone to know. So if I could manage and manipulate and control my weight through purging and overexercising and laxative use, then no one would know how sick I was. But I knew how sick I was, and it didn't matter what people said. It didn't matter what people thought. Now, would it like feed my ego of like getting the accolades of looking beautiful? Sure. Yeah, it did. But again, I stayed sick. And so this book, I am so grateful for the clarity and the precision that it teaches of what my solution is. You know, put all of my alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors down and work these steps and really heal from the insanity to have a complete and whole mind, to be happy, joyous, and free so that I can be of maximum service to my God and to my fellows and especially to my family. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelsey. I think that's pretty close to our time, so that's going to be a wrap this morning. And thank you to everyone who has participated today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. Let me give you the share ID for this morning's meeting. That share ID is 21,416. That's 21416. We're now going to close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Rena L., would you do us that honor? Appreciate that.
Sure. Hi, this is Rena L., recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find.